In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Ellen is going to be with us also, Eleanor McCullen. But I'm reading from the 14th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news, that's the gospel, that Jesus Christ has died, that he was buried, and was raised from the dead to that city, and he made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, and they strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." And they appointed elders, some people say they're priests, for them in each church, and their prayer went with them in fasting, and he commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. And I want to read this part. "And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how God had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." God's word is fruitful. God's word is productive. When we preach the word, things happen. Just yesterday, a lady came from Florida, and I was talking about the things that God had been doing, and her ear was a deaf ear, and she wasn't completely healed, but her ear opened up a little. These are the things that God is doing, and we need to share the things that God is doing so that we can be encouraged. Paul shared what happened with the Gentiles as he preached the gospel, the healings that took place, and the deliverances that took place. And, you know, this is how we spur each other on. The gospel is a living word. It changes people. The word of God is a living word. It changes people. And we need to share what God has done and what God has done, what God is doing and what God has done. I'll tell you one more story. This is Carmen's story. I love this story. Whenever I see Carmen, I think of it. Carmen, when his kids were small, they were on their way on a pilgrimage to St. Andrew Bupre in Quebec. And while they were driving, the radiator blew up, you know? The radiator completely let go. And they didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, this man stopped, and he says, "Oh, I can fix this." And he took out a piece of soap, and he formed the soap in the hole. He said, "Oh, that'll hold for you, you know." That sounds crazy. They put more water in. They got to St. Andrew Bupre, and then they came back, and when they were in the driveway, it let loose. Now, Carmen was looking for that soap for years. Couldn't find that soap. You see, this was the Lord. The Lord, through some angel that came to him with soap. Carmen said, "I was been looking for that soap because that soap was really good. I could never do a thing like that with ordinary soap." But Carmen never found the soap. He just knew that this is what the Lord had done. I was just speaking with Eleanor, and she told me that 5 children were spared and 5 women were spared in the last few weeks. And she's going to tell you some stories. So you'll be encouraged to pray for the unborn.
Yes. Hello, everyone. It's so nice to be with you, Father. And I think the word you just said a few minutes ago, one of the words you said was persevere. And I think that's the secret. That's what we pray for all the time, the grace of perseverance, especially when we are working as a witness for the truth outside of Planned Parenthood. Because I will tell you the stories, Father. And as you say, our God is fruitful, but we must persevere and know that he's with us, know that he takes delight in our witness, and that he will give us the fruit of our labor. But it does take time, and we just persevere, and we ask for that grace. One day, we had a lot of stories, but I think one of the the sweetest one. We had a mother and a young girl come up to Planned Parenthood. Young girl, she was very young. She was 17. And her mother said, she said, we have to go ahead with this abortion. And I said, she said, she's so young, I want her to go to college. And I said, I understand you have dreams, but guess what? It's a new dream coming into your life. And you will go to college and you can do all the things. And it's a challenge, but together we'll all work together and have this child. And we spoke, and the mother kept shaking her head, and the daughter had tears in her eyes. And the mother said, don't look at me like that, because you could tell the young girl wanted to go ahead and have the baby. So after 20 minutes, the mother said, thank you, but guess what? We're going in, because we cannot have this child. So they did go in, and here's where the perseverance and not giving up, and we go into prayer immediately. We always like the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and we just go in, and we just know, we have it, we feel it in our bones. We say to the Lord, we know you're going to bring them out. We just know it, and we do. They're not just words. We just know things. And so that's exactly what happened. We persevered. We didn't get in our car. We didn't say we're going to go home. We didn't say, what are we doing here? We're wasting our time. We waited and we waited and we waited. And then I look up at the door, and there I see the mother and the young girl coming out. So, it's like, honestly, I can't explain the happiness and the joy. I think you can picture it. You can picture it. I jump out of the car and I say, I've been waiting. I knew you would come. She said, my daughter said, I told the daughter, incidentally, I took the daughter aside by myself. And I said, I know your mother's concerned, but you are the mother of this child. So you have to speak up now. You have to take authority and let your mother know you've been quiet out here. And I understand, but you take authority. And she did when she was in there. She told her mother, Mother, we can do this. I want this baby. I'm not going to go ahead with this abortion. So, my gosh, Father, even when I'm telling you now, I get chills. So, but the nice part about the day, also, Father Michael Sheehan was there. He's a wonderful priest from the Primitive Order, the Primitive Observance of St. Francis, and he was there. And so he was like the icing on the cake, because we had a beautiful baby blanket that was crocheted by Kathy. We gave her the baby blanket. We gave her a rose. And then Father Michael prayed over her. Honestly, Father, he said, you hold this blanket. This blanket will be blessed with a beautiful miracle of God, and the baby will be healthy, and you can do this with the grace of God. Honestly, Father, it was just brings tears to your eyes. So that was one story of just waiting. And a lot of this work is waiting. It's waiting and persevering and knowing that something good will happen. Two cases, which is interesting. I didn't really do too much. We didn't do too much with them as far as talking. But the witness, this is what I'm always mentioning, the witness of people standing there, it is powerful. And we had two women came out. And I said, what happened? How can we help you? She said, no. She said, we just left. She said, you people here, you convicted us. Somehow, I don't think we gave them anything, but they said, we just walked out. We said, why are we here? So then I go into, we can help you. Let's go to Pregnancy Help. It's right in Brighton. It's run by the Archdiocese. Many resources at Pregnancy Help that you can receive. So we go there. We get the ultrasound. Nothing costs. There's no money exchange. Everything is available. Also, Women's Concern. I have to mention Women's Concern in Revere. Beautiful work done for women that are expecting babies. And they help you. They hold your hand. We support. We help. Hope. We give hope, help, and love. That is what we do. Hope, help, and love. So we did go to Pregnancy Help, and the two women all smiles. I always say to them, you know, when you go in, you look so sad, but look at these bright faces. I mean, Father, it's like the weight of the world is lifted from them. They have joy in their face. I always say I should have a camera, but I guess that wouldn't be right, but it would be fun to have the camera so then you can see what I'm talking about. But she said, now make sure, this woman with her friends said, you go over and tell your people that we're standing outside of Planned Parenthood. You say thank you to them, because thank you for being there. And then last week I was with Tom Harvey. He came, he filled in. Tom is a wonderful lawyer. And so we were standing there. We really didn't do anything. Honestly, Father, I would tell you if we did anything. And a woman came in. She came in and Tom said, oh, I missed her. I didn't know she was going in. So I said, well, the Lord's in charge. You know, don't worry about it. You can't look back. As Father said last week, don't look back. You could go back and say, I should have, could have, whatever, and drive yourself nutty. But I said, let's just pray about it and it's fine. Don't worry. So Tom said, oh, good. So about 20 minutes later, the woman came out. She came right over to Tom and I, Father, and she said, this is exactly what she said. Thank you guys for being here. I didn't do it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So that's what Tom said, hallelujah. And I said, God bless you. But she didn't need any help that day. So those are good stories. And but I have to tell you something also. You know, we can't forget the men that suffer from abortion, and the women too, Father, that do have abortion, they suffer. And I've always mentioned to you, Rachel's Vineyard is a wonderful place to go for retreat, for healing, for mercy, for confession, and for going on with your life. But I had a man last week, and he said, this is, I said, is this your child? He said, it's my child. I said, well, you, please, you have to. He said, I've done it. I can't. She won't listen to me. I said, please, you just have to. And so I gave him the old pep talk. And but guess what, Father? He went in. He came out 5 minutes later, tears in his eyes, furious. He said, I told you. She said, get lost. And he said, fine. And he said, she wouldn't even listen to me. And he said, this is what men say, Father. Women don't know they're going to say this. But he said, when I talk to her, this is we're over. He said, how can I be with a woman that has just taken the life of my child? He said, I don't need a woman like that. I don't want a woman like that. And that's the end of that. And that's what women don't know. Some women have abortions because the man is going to always be there or not. And they're not there then if they go ahead with the abortion. And women are shocked when they hear that. But it makes sense logically when this man, and men have no recourse. They can't go to a judge. The judge, everything's about the woman, the woman's body. There's no talk about two hearts are beating. This is a special little tiny life beginning in the woman's womb. No, the judge won't give you any credit if you're a man. So I always feel sorry for the man. I tried to help him, and he appreciated, you know, we prayed on the street, and he said, thank you. He's, you know, I tried to help him through it, and it's always very sad. That's a sad story. And let's see, we have a story of where the woman came out last week. Here's a case, Father, of perseverance. The one woman that we talked to for all the time, I told you about this, Father, and she was looking at the pictures of the baby, how the baby has the DNA at the moment of conception and the heart beats at 21 days and the brain waves are functioning at 10 weeks. And she's 3 months pregnant, Father, if you can believe it. And I said, oh, you know, she said, well, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, she had come in and then she came out in the street to talk to me. So I said, well, yeah, we'll go to pregnancy help. We'll get the ultrasound. We'll do this 3 months. That's quite a large size fetus. So she said, okay, I'll go back in and get my keys. They keep your keys there. I'm not quite sure what that's about. And well, I hate to tell you, Father, we waited and waited and waited, and she never did come out. I never wondered what happened to her because we gave her a baby blanket. She just, I knew she was going to come out of it. But guess what? Just like those two guys to Emmaus, I was thinking, we waited because we waited. Mary and I waited. It was like past 12:30. And our hearts were troubled and we were discouraged. I said, oh, Mary, what happened to her? She never came back out. But then, guess what, Father? And just then, another woman came out and she was walking down toward me. So, you know, I was upset, but somehow you get that grace to sound cheerful again. And so I said to her, I said, oh, I said, hi, I'm here. I'm still here. What can I do? And she said, you know, I left there. Now you have to understand, this is a whole different woman. But see how the Lord, oh, honestly, I guess I'm such a baby because I get in the car and sometimes I cry and the Lord probably says, oh, her tears are getting to me. But then this woman came. I said, really? It changed. She said, oh, yeah. She said, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what am I doing here? I'm leaving. But she said, you know, she said, No, she was 19. And she said, I'm young. I said, yeah, but you're not that young. You can do this. And just then I remembered some woman had come by and gave me some baby clothes. So the woman said to me, I said, we're going to help you. She had her own doctor, so we didn't have to go to pregnancy help in Brighton. So she said, oh, I hope it's a little girl. So just then I looked in the bag that the woman had brought with all the baby clothes, and they were all pink. Wasn't that great? So I started to pick out two outfits, but they were all, I said, oh, so I gave her the whole seven outfits and they were all pink. And she was thrilled. She said, I can't believe you're giving me baby clothes. I just walked out of there. So I said, God is good. God is good. You responded to his grace, and he will honor you. He will honor birth. He will honor your baby. And this is just the beginning. And then she said, well, my sister's having twins. Can you help her too? So I said, sure, we can help her too. So it was a beautiful story. Then from crying, then I'm laughing in the car. And I said, Lord, thank you. You are so sweet. You are so generous and so preciously sweet.
The witness is so important. Just standing out there praying is so important. It's like a living word. It's a living word. And when people are not there, what happens is they just think they could go in. But when people stand there and they're prayerful, they get convicted by the Holy Spirit. Some of them get convicted and still go on. Others get convicted and they leave. Now, it is so important that people stand outside these abortion mills. We've been hearing about this terrible doctor who has killed several children on botched abortions. And, you know, the president has not come out against him. As a matter of fact, President Obama went to Planned Parenthood and gave a speech, and at the end of the speech, after he said, you know, you people do good work, you're good work, all right, kill children. That's what the Planned Parenthood is all about. It's the biggest baby-killing machine in the world. Then he says to them, God bless you. And I just wanted to get sick. God bless you for killing children. God bless you for killing children. With the saline solution. God bless you? No, God won't bless you. This is a death camp. This is like telling the Germans, you know, when they were killing the Jews, God bless you. Never. God will not bless killing. He can bring good out of it when we turn to him and repent, but he cannot bless killing. No, God is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto me, no one comes unto the Father unless they go through me. Jesus is life. He is the life, and we need to be out there. You know, people have been really responding. We have baby hats, we have blankets, they bring clothes, all these things that people can do, you know, really help. Because it really pinpoints that who you're carrying is a real person. You see, when you give them a hat, what you're saying is, you have a baby that has a head. You don't even have to say those words. The hat says it all. You have a baby that has a head. The blanket, this blanket will cover your baby's body so the baby won't be cold. You don't have to even say that. That's what a blanket does. So we have people making blankets. We have people making hats. We have people bringing roses. And things are happening. I can tell you this much. The people at Planned Parenthood cannot stand the people that are standing outside peacefully praying, peacefully giving witness. And as Eleanor said, perseverance is what it's all about. Perseverance.
Yeah, that's true, Father. And you can't remind everybody enough, because you wonder, well, what are we actually doing in the whole evil of abortion? But we can't afford to wonder what we're doing. We have to be faithful and do it. And you know, we're not doing the ones that come and stand outside of Planned Parenthood. You know, no one should really say to us, oh, that's really wonderful that you're there. Because guess what, Father? You have taught me that I'm a Catholic, I'm a Christian, and that's what I'm supposed to do. If I told you I made dinner for my husband last night, you would say, yeah, what else is new? That's what I do. That's what I do. That's what I should do. So I should be there. I mean, it's nothing above and beyond the call of being Catholic and being Christian. So, but we do get discouraged sometimes. And one time I was there and the Lord said to me, I said, you know, you do get discouraged. There's no point in saying you don't. So, but then the Lord said to me, Eleanor, and I said, yes. And he said, I will bring about the success. I know this evil that's going on. I only want two things from you. I said, what? He said, I want you to be a witness. I do want you to stand here and be a witness for the truth. I do want that. And I do want you to give me your heart, 150%. And I think I mentioned that before, Father, the first thing I would say, I said, okay, well, I can do that. I can give you my heart. And then the Lord convicted me. He said, 150%. So he kind of made me stop and think and make sure what I'm saying here was true. And then, you know, when the Lord said sometime to that guy that was blind, you know, and that Jesus said to him, Bartimaeus, or I think his name was, you know his name, Father.
Bartimaeus.
Yeah. And he said, and Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? So I think that day I said, Jesus, I want you to help me to love you more. That was what I really want. I really want to go deeper in love with Jesus. So, yeah, anybody that's listening, we had the 40 Days for Life worked on by Rita Russo. Beautiful people came out to pray. I'll tell you that with 40 Days for Life, I could have 400 Days for Life. Because when those people came out, they prayed. Father, honestly, we miss them. So anybody that can come out and pray a rosary for an hour, it's amazing support. It just feels good. There again, I can't explain it, but prayer is powerful. Witness is powerful. And the Lord does call on us to be a witness for the truth. And as Father said, people see us standing there. And when they see a group, they say, if they see me or two people, they say, oh, they must be those crazy people. But when they see 10, they stop and think in their cars. And they think, maybe I should pay a little more attention to what is actually happening with this evil. So that's the message. Persevere. Tell people about there's help for pregnant women. Tell people that there's pregnancy help and a woman's concern. Just get involved in any way that you can. Don't give up yet. Because I think Father has always taught us, we're about to turn a corner. We're about to turn a corner. So we need all the pro-lifers to come together and unite. I've always said that, uniting together in one full force. You know, with that marathon bombing, Father, unfortunately that happened, but what the good part of it was that everybody banded together. The FBI banded together with the local police and the other police and the state police, and they all worked as one unit. And that's how we got the success. Plus the grace of God. Nobody really thanks God. They thanked everybody else, and I was waiting for them to say, thank you, God. But we're saying that right now on the radio. We say thank you for the grace to have that whole episode, catching the men and et cetera, et cetera. But the point is that we have to always thank God and know that he's right there with us all the time. He'll never leave us.
So St. Paul encouraged the people by telling what had happened with the Gentiles and how the Gentiles received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, we all need stories. We need to hear stories so that we get encouraged. Paul knew that his stories were going to encourage these new people. Paul knew that. And he also gave the hard messages. You know, it's difficult for a person to go through the kingdom of God. He has many obstacles. I tell you, God the Father and Jesus the Son wants to do many things in the power of the Holy Spirit, but he needs you and he needs me. At least to say yes. At least to say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm calling people to go to Planned Parenthood on a Tuesday so that we have more numbers on a Tuesday. Planned Parenthood, what's the number of Planned Parenthood?
It's 1055.
1055 Commonwealth Avenue. 1055 Commonwealth Avenue. Tomorrow is Tuesday. You know, I remember only one person that turned around. I don't go anymore. But I remember being there at Repro, and this lady had come. And she was from the South Shore, And she said, I'm not going to have the abortion. I remember that lady. She was an older woman. She wasn't 18 or 19. But just because we were standing there, she said, you know, I'm not going to have the abortion. I'm going home now. This is so important. Just the witness of being there, the witness of just being in front of the abortion mill, praying the divine mercy or praying the rosary or reading the scriptures quietly. God works through human vessels. God wants to work through you. You say, what do I have to give God? You. That's all you have to give God is you. That's all I have to give the Lord is me. Just me as I am, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come just as I am. I thank you for listening to these witnesses today. It's wonderful to be able to speak the word of God. And I ask you that if you can to help us to pay for these programs to be on WROL at, what time are we on, 11:30 in the morning, sometimes 6:30 in the evening, and on WEZE at 11:15 in the morning, and then 9:45 in the evening and 3 in the morning. Please help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.